Woo! Alrighty. Welcome to chapter 122, I think, of verbal hieroglyphics of a light pigmented chap. How are we all doing, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not sure about verbal hieroglyphics. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, hieroglyphics are more paintings than, well, I guess, I mean, hieroglyphics in ancient Egypt, they were used to tell stories, you know, on walls. Verbal hieroglyphics is kind of just like going into an ancient pyramid and screaming at the wall, you know, just about cats and funny hair. I don't know. That's all I've really ever seen of hieroglyphics. Mainly just cats and different types of animals. But yeah, verbal hieroglyphics. Look, this podcast isn't really verbal hieroglyphics. Or maybe, you know, maybe one day all these like recordings will be found in some temple, you know, the Egyptian, what are they called? Like the well-kept caves, the pharaoh dens. What are they called? They're not called pharaoh dens. What are they called? Fuck, the temples. Are they just called temples? I think they're just called temples. I'm going to duck-duck-go it. Hang on. Duck-duck. Ancient Egypt. I bet you that I know the word. There's another word for it. I know there's people right now listening to this, screaming the word out loud, going, Luke, it's this. I'm going to get it. Ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. I've Googled. Oh, no, sorry. Googled. I would never do that. I've duck-duck-goed. All right, still waiting for DuckDuckGo to load. Still the best search engine, just a bit slower, you know. What are they called? Tombs! Ancient Egyptian tombs. I wonder one day if we'll find these recordings in a tomb with all the mummies and the King Tuts. I'll be like, what up, King Tut? Man, what did I call it? Pharaoh Den. Yeah, good one, Luke. Like, there's a bunch of, like, BBC documentaries right now, you know, National Geographic going, today we go inside the ancient Egyptian pharaoh dens, and here you will see the King Tut's last ever crack pipe lying on the floor as it was originally left. Pharaoh den. That'd be like the seediest place ever. Just a well-kept skeleton, just, and then around him just like you know, illicit substances on the floor. Anyway, guys, hey, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. This is a podcast where occasionally you call things by names in which they aren't, but we all run with it anyway. So from now on, when you're referring to a tomb in conversation, please refer to it as a pharaoh den. And if you're back for more, thank you very much for joining back. Big week this, guys. I had an absolute awesome weekend. I did the biggest show of my life. And guys, I'm going to come out and say it. And I feel like right now, this is one of the bravest things I've ever come out and publicly said. A lot of people will be maybe disagree, but I think a lot of people either way will respect the courage that I have to say this on a public forum. I'll just go ahead and say it. Guys, I love Queensland. I love it. I think it's one of the almost the best state in Australia. I think I was meant to be born in Queensland. And I was just wrongfully born here because I don't know what it is, but Melbourne, I fit in here for sure. It's where my whole life is, but I don't drink coffee. Melbourne's known for its coffee. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink, that's the main one. I don't drink VB, Victoria Bitter. There's lots of beverages here that are very Victorian beverages that I don't consume. And then on the other hand, Brisbane. And also, I hate the cold. There's lots of things about Melbourne that just don't gel with my lifestyle. And Queensland, look, I've been there, you know, been on there for a few years and been there a few times when I was growing up as well. And I think it's just grown on me over the years. I love Queensland, guys. I'm just going to turn this light down a bit, actually. I got the light. It's blinding me. I feel like I'm squinting, right? I need sunglasses on the podcast. That's a bit better. What was I saying? Yeah, Queensland. Love it. Absolutely love it. And there's a few reasons as to why. This is the first reason, okay? I'll just tell you the first reason. Pretty simple. I was out at a pub and we started chatting to a few mates. I was with a few mates, and then we started chatting to these random guys, as you do at a pub on the Gold Coast, right? And we started chatting to these guys, and because Rory Lowe, a comedian I was with right at the time, he started doing this trick with his hand where he twisted his entire hand around 360 degrees, and it freaked everyone out, and everyone's like, oh man, this guy should be on Ripley's Believe It or Not. This is dope, because Gold Coast have one of those. And, you know, everyone's like, this is nuts. So a crowd started to form around our table, and then we started talking to these guys the rest of the night. I'm like, what are you here for, mate? You know, we're talking about like comedy and stuff. And they're like, mate, we bloody love comedy, bro. Do you like Carl Barron, man? Do you like Carl Barron? That's all I ever get asked. Whenever I tell someone over 30, maybe like 35, that I'm a comedian, they either go, do you like Husey or do you like Carl Barron? And I'm just like, yeah, man, I do. Oh, getting knocked up on the podcast. Two just came through. Popular. All right. Oh, fuck you, Optus. It's Optus again. Optus, we're still at war. Get it through your head. If you're new to the podcast, guys, long story, but I'm just kind of feuding with Optus. You know, that they screwed me around a bit. They kept me on hold for 27 minutes. It was a nightmare. Anyway, I'll answer those knocks at the end of the podcast. Thanks for knocking me up, guys. Anyway, what was I? All right, so we're talking. All right, so yeah, we're talking to the old guys. You know, bloody, do you like Carl Barron, mate? Anyway, we start getting along, and then gets maybe 2 hours on. We've all had a few drinks in us, and one of these random guys, and I didn't even learn his name, I don't think. I just like to call him Denim Jacket Guy. There was Beanie Guy, Guy with Half a Finger, and there was Denim Jacket Guy. That's how I knew the guys by the end of the night. And the Denim Jacket Guy turns to Guy with Half a Finger. Again, they were just like a few tradies. And he was like, hey, Half a Finger Man. Well, he didn't say that. He said his name, but I forget. He's like, hey, half a Finger Man, should I get up my ball sack and press it on the window? Now, I don't think that, I'm paraphrasing. That wasn't the exact quote. I think the exact quote was, oi, should I get my nuts out? But, you know, I remember it quite intelligently, which was, excuse me, fellow gentleman sitting opposite me with one finger that we still, one less finger than you should have, or half a finger. I forget what it was. Anyway, I was a bit drunk. This guy, there's so many people. I met someone with a bent finger, someone with half a finger, and then someone with like a stump, you know, like a just stumpy finger where their nail had been cut off, all in the space of half an hour. So it was a wild. Another reason why I love Queensland is, you know, no one's got fingers there, but you don't fucking need them. That's what I realized. All these people up there just fingerless and, you know, missing bits and pieces, and they're fine. You know, fingers are overrated. That's what I think. You can quote me on that, guys. Luke Kidgel, 2019, fingers are overrated. Anyway, so he turns around and goes, oh, you should have got my nutsack out. And old Denim Guy, and so then everyone else at the table, well, not me, I was kind of just sitting there watching the whole sitch play out. And I'm from Melbourne. So if someone goes, oi, should I get my nutsack out? You know, we're from PC, progressive Melbourne. I go, no, you shouldn't get your nutsack out. That might offend someone, you know, or someone might be bothered by that. Also, you might get arrested or get kicked out of the bar. That's what I think as a Melbournian. We're at a table. We're at like one of the local bars on the Gold Coast, not one of the touristy things. Because I went with my tour manager, Zach, who lives in the Gold Coast. He took me to like a local place, you know, where all the locals go. So a bunch of Queenslanders around. When someone says, oi, should I get my nutsack out? Everyone else, instead of going, no, don't do that, goes, why isn't it already out? So within 2 seconds, Denim Jacket Bloke has his ball sack pressed up against a glass window, right? I think he was trying to impress these girls that were on the other side. Not impressive. I would say there's no girl that's ever been like, I wasn't that into him, but then he pressed his nutsack up against the glass and I was like, he's the one. No. I think in his drunk state of mind, and just being all from Queensland and shit, he was like, this'll get him. You know what I mean? If these girls weren't interested in me before this, now that my testicle is flat, squished like a pancake up against a bloody window, this'll get the girls. So I'm at the table and all I see from my end is him just pressing his bum. So I see his bum kind of tense because he's like thrusting no other way to say it. He's thrusting his open sack flush against the glass. Now, what I thought was going to happen was the girls will be like, oh my God, that's disgusting. And maybe tell the security guard and then the guy will get kicked out. That's what I thought. As soon as the nutsack came out, I was like, oh, denim jacket screwed. It's going to be me, Beanie, and Zach, and bloody, half a finger. All right, I'm like, that's going to be us for the rest of the night because denim jacket, he's just cooked himself. You can't get your nut out at a bar. Or so I thought. I forgot we were in Queensland. In Melbourne, exposed nut is a sin. In Queensland, it's celebrated. Not just by the girls over the other side. Instead of freaking out, I thought one of them might start crying, like, you know, oh my God, I'm so offended. It's a testicle. You know, I only put them in my mouth, but when it gets out at a bar, you know, I just thought this is going to end badly. Nah, the girls on the other side of the window started losing their shit laughing, quickly got out their phones, started filming with the flash on, like on Snapchat, Instagram stories. Just started filming the gonad. Amazing. That's the most Gold Coast shit ever. Then, very quickly, I reckon he had his nut up against the wall for about 5 seconds at this point. He's kind of cheering. Oh, wait, I just started choking. Jesus Christ. Oh, I need a drink of water. What just happened? Oh, man, I feel like I've got a nut in my throat. So relatable. Hey guys, you know when you feel like you just swallow a testicle? Anyway, so the guy with his nut, he's cheering. I reckon he's had his nut out on the window now for 5 seconds, you know, 5 to 6 to 7. I lost track of time. Now, I cannot stress this enough. It wasn't like an exposed shaft. It was more of a cheeky nut, a sneaky nut out the fly. And then very quickly I saw the security guard / venue staff, a lady who worked there, seeing the situation occur, she quickly walked over and I went, oh, he's fucked. He's going to get kicked out. You can't get your nutsack out in a bar. Or so I thought. The security guard, she's a lady, which made me think like, this is going to be even worse. Cause I thought maybe it was like a male security guard. He might be like bit of a loose cannon, be like, come on, mate, can't bloody do that. That's enough, you know, and just slowly kick him out. I'm like, dude, this female security guard, she's going to be like, you pig, get your nut out of this bar. Oh, man. Or so I thought. She taps him on the shoulder, peeks over, like peers over the guy, looks at, so like just to get a look at the nut, just to be like, oh, just to confirm that the testicle was exposed, looks over his shoulder, gets right up in his ear and goes, put it away, mate. That's not big enough. I love Queensland. I love it. I said it. I love Queensland. Put it away, mate. That's where I thought the sentence was going to end. Put it away, mate. And I thought it was going to end with maybe like, that's not appropriate, or that's illegal. Not, that's not big enough. I didn't think the problem was going to be the size of his testicles. At not one point in that situation when it was occurring did I think, oh, geez, I hope his nuts are big enough for this bar. Maybe that's why the girls were laughing. I didn't actually see the nutsack, but I imagined it just looked like, you know, what would a nutsack look like pressed against the glass? It just looked like a little version of Benjamin Button's face squished against a bit of bloody nice Windexed see-through glass, which is wouldn't be a great sight. And that's why the girls were probably laughing and, you know, filming it for their friends on Snapchat. He didn't get kicked out. He just got nut shamed, and then everyone around the table, you know what? It was more effective. I think that put him into line a lot more than him getting kicked out would have. Because if he had got kicked out, he would have been like, what? I was just trying to have fun with these girls. Blah, blah, blah. He would have been angry and would have think, by nut shaming him, this is what happened. All of us around the table went, ha ha, denim jacket has got small nuts, right? we're all just like laughing at him going, oh, fucking, oh, is that a Tic Tac or is it denim jackets balls? You know, look, not very creative stuff, but you know, when it's 1 a.m. and you're at a bar, you gotta, you know, but I didn't realize that, yeah, it was frowned upon to not have balloon sized testicles in Queensland. And then we started talking, actually. I started talking to Rory, the comedian mate, and he's like, man, I got a mate that has fat nuts. I got a mate that's just got enormous testicles. I went, what do you mean? He goes, well, we're going through a music festival, and the security guard was patting us all down, you know, to see if we had stuff in our pockets or pants, like sneaking in alcohol. The security guard cupped the guy's, you know, genitalia region, and he said, come on, mate. You can't be sneaking stuff in. And the guy just had to be like, no, no, no. I have enormous testicles. And the security guard went, no, no way. So he had to take off his pants in front of everyone. And then just with his undies on, the security guard once again grasped his nuts, realized and went, well, there's no mistaking it. They are testicles. But just he just has like enormous Planet of the Apes gorilla sacks. And the security guard just had to apologize and be like, I'm so sorry. I just assumed you were smuggling something in. Imagine having nuts that fat that someone mistook them for a bottle of vodka or a flask. Imagine having flask-sized nuts. Dude, I got like little shot glasses, you know, little shot nuts. I didn't realize there was people walking around there with like, you know, tennis ball sized testicles. What kind of heat are you packing? Dude, if your nuts are that big, imagine the shaft. Dude, you take out streets with that thing. You take out buildings. That's insane. That's a, you know, the movie Lethal Weapon wasn't about a cop. It was just about that guy's shaft. Oh, god damn. Anyway, so that's the thing that happened. I love the Gold Coast. You know, a guy gets his nut out at a bar and he's not villainized for it, which maybe I thought. The Melburnian in me went, bloody, you know, nut flasher or whatever. But then the human in me went, hey, 50% of us have got one. You know what I mean? And fair enough. If they're not big enough, don't bust them out, boys. Only bust out your nuts if they're impressive nuts. Or otherwise, especially don't do it in Queensland. Otherwise, you just get shamed. So, yeah, I love Queensland. And the guys in Queensland don't try. Hey, guys in Queensland, try harder, please, for all of us. I felt bad for the girls there because the girls, they dress up and they have a great time. You know, that they put on their nice little outfits. They bother to do their makeup, mascara. They put in as much effort as any other girl would on a night out. But for some reason, like the guys there, every single place I went through put in no effort. In Melbourne, if you go out night on the town, you know, you whack on a shirt. You wear a collar most of the time. You put on some boots. You know, you wear a watch here. You put in a little bit of effort. Now, I'm not saying that guys put in as much effort as girls. We don't. But I think if you go to a major capital city of Australia, and probably just anywhere in the world, the majority of the guys put in some effort. That's at least been my experience anyway. Not on the Gold Coast. Cargo shorts, thongs, singlet. And I know it's hot, but God, it wasn't that hot. It was about 23, 24 degrees. The lack of jeans at that venue that I was at was astonishing. And I feel so bad for the girls because they were just putting up with it. And there were guys there in like NBA singlets at a pub just picking up. It wasn't phasing the girls. It's just, it was the norm there. You know, girls were like, oh my God, like, girls must, in Gold Coast, must just talk to their friends like, oh my God, he was wearing shoes. It was so hot. Like, the standard's so low. Like, I just took one look at his 3/4 cargo pants and I just knew he was the one. It's insane. There's girls there going like, genuinely going like, wow, he's hot. I felt like a dickhead. I rocked up, you know, with like a jacket on that had like a collar, You know, I was wearing jeans. I was wearing pants to a pub on the Gold Coast. I feel like a dickhead. And, you know, I was wearing, you know, Nikes, thank God. Man, imagine if I was Boot Luke. Imagine I rocked up with boots on. They would have been like, righto, champion. All right. Put on this NBA jersey and just harden the fuck up with your boots. I was so glad I was wearing my Nikes. At least I fit in from the ankles down. It's crazy there. I think every time I go to like a you know, not a regional place, but that's Gold Coast isn't regional, but every time that's just might be Queensland, but every time I go to like a regional place in Victoria, just the standard's so low. And I wish that was the case everywhere, to be honest. I'm sick of trying, is my point. I'm not having a go, I'm just jealous, you know. I'm lashing out because you know, I'm sick of wearing bloody collars everywhere. But anyway, girls, I feel bad for you if you live in a regional town. I'm sure it's not all guys, but Jesus, it's the majority. You know, it's one of those places, like, I was in the toilet for the line, and the guy just walks up and goes, "Is this the Coke line?" And I went, "Nah, just the toilet." And he goes, "Oh, fuck that. I'll just piss outside." I was like, shouldn't you be also doing Coke outside as well? Like, oh, I'll do Coke in the establishment, but I will not urinate here, thank you very much. I'm not that disgusting. Like, I will do Coke off a toilet seat, but I won't bloody piss in it, mate. That's yuck. I love Queensland, man. It's so loose. Man. I had great shows. I did Sunshine Coast on Thursday, and then, of course, my comedy special on Friday. Biggest show I've ever done. It sold out. Woo! We sold every single ticket. I couldn't believe it. It sold out, like, 2 hours before, which was cool. Man, you guys are legends. I felt like a rock star for a day, you know? Now I know how Reese Maston felt. You know, he's like, "I wish I was a rock star. Oh, and I'm like, dude, now I always was like, I wish I was a rock star. And now I'm like the last chorus, if you've ever heard that song, where Reese goes, "And now I am a rock star. Oh, breaking all the girls' hearts." That's what I felt like. I was just up there breaking hearts. I didn't break any hearts. Actually, I think I might have broke one heart. It was a really awkward situation that happened. It might be in the special though, so I don't want to spoil it. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just like, the general gist of it was, some guy was like, "Oh, me and my new girlfriend are here, and so is my ex." And the ex was like, "Oh, it was just so super weird. It was very uncomfortable." And I had to just stop the middle of my comedy special just to give couples canceling. it was very good. But, fuck, that was awkward. Anyway. So, it was a great show, and what I noticed about my shows this weekend, I've noticed a little bit, and I think it's really starting to grow and happen more, the community that, I don't know what to call it, like this, I don't really like using the term fan base, but I guess that's what it is, the community in which, you know, the people who come to my shows and people who like my stuff, fuck, you guys are adorable, you bunch of cuties, you're all bloody... You're so lovely. It's insane. Like, my management, you know, that we all, you know, they all manage, you know, a bunch of other acts, like Australian comedians, like Frenchie, Isaac, the Fairbairn Boys, blah, blah, blah. Like, a lot of people, you know. And, man, they always just go, like, it's just, like, a widely known thing between all of us. Like, oh, Luke's fans are just adorable. Like, Luke's fans are so nice. And look, it's not all of you, you know, there's a minority that obviously, you know, can get the straw. It's like that out of everything. I meet wankers at my shows all the time, but goddamn, 99.99% of you are so lovely. This is how I know, because people come by themselves, and I've noticed it started to happen. Like, the community is so good at my shows that people come by themselves and then rock up. And the meet and greet line, I'm like, "Oh, you guys together?" It's like, you know, two guys or a girl and a guy or two girls or whatever, or whatever. And then they're just like hanging out. And I'm like, "Oh, you guys together?" I'm like, "Nice to meet you both." They're like, "Oh, no, we're not together. But we just started talking the line." And it's so cool. And now, like, I've got messages after shows where people have come by themselves and gone, oh yeah, like, I met this person at your show and now we hang out. And, like, you know, like, couples will meet. And, like, man, my show is probably a more success rate than, you know, The Bachelor or Married at First Sight. I've always got messages of, like, man, I met my girlfriend at your show. We both come by ourselves and now we talk all the time. And I was like, that's very cool. I mean, I didn't mean for that to happen, but what I'm trying to say is the community that it's we're starting to build at these shows is super fun and it's super inclusive. So, yeah, and it's really cool at how many people have come to the show by themselves. And they also had a great time. Then also, like, started talking to people in the meet and greet line and just had a great night, which is really cool. Because I can make the show good. You know what I mean? You have a great time during the show, but what really matters to me is, like, you know, obviously you guys have a great time during the show, but if you guys have a good night, I want it to be like an experience. You know, when you come out to my show and it's like, that's why I choose the waiting, like the walk-in playlist, you know, have a bit of fun with that, where it's like stupid, you know, pump up songs, Panic at the Disco, like Smash Mouth by All Star. I just want the whole night to be fun from start to finish. And it's great knowing that the meet and greet and stuff, even after the show, people are still having fun. So that's very cool. I just want to talk about that anyway. I think it's very cool that you guys are, like, hanging out with each other and including people who you may not know. And that's what I want at my shows. That's cool. And you guys are always so lovely when I meet you all. And yeah, it's really cool. So thank you very much for coming, everyone, on the weekend. The comedy special taping went sick. It should be out in September. We're going to get it out in September. We don't know if it's going to be early or late September, but that's what we're aiming for, and it's going to happen. I've already seen the first draft of it, and I'm so happy with it. I'm stoked, because I was a bit worried about it, because I only got to film it once. And it's not, you know what I mean? It's not a thing where it's like, I didn't want it to be perfect, if that makes sense. All I wanted was to just film a show and be like, this is what it's like to come to a Luke Kidgel show. And yeah, there's times in it where I, you know, might stutter or, you know, like, stuff up a word, and you can usually cut those out by filming it twice. You know, if people film a special twice, you just use the good take from each night or whatever. But I was like, fuck it, man, let's just film a Luke Kidgel show. I'll try and just forget that the cameras are there, and fuck it, it is what it is, and I'm just gonna go out there and smash it. And I almost like the sense that, because that's not me, that's not the type of comedian I am. I'm not word perfect. I'm not, you know, every night's slightly different at my shows. It's depending which show you come from. The crowd work's different. Like, most comedians won't even do crowd work in their comedy specials. They'll just do their jokes and then just get off. And I was like, fuck this. I just was talking to heaps of people. I love that. So yeah, that's the kind of what I want it to be. And I hope that, and the reason why I want it to be that is because there's a lot of people who are international who listen to this podcast and have never been able to see me live. And also, places in Australia, you may not be able to get to a show. And I want you guys to just have the sense of, like, oh, this is what it is to come to a Luke Kidgel show. And I just want it to be a lot of fun. And I think that's what it reflects. I think I watched it back and I was like, this is fun. And I love it. And it's funny. And there's heaps of all my favorite jokes on there. And yeah, I was just super happy with how it went. So yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for selling out that show. It was a dream come true. I felt like an absolute boss as I walked out. 400 people, was double the amount of people I've ever done before at a show of mine. And yeah, it was crazy fun. I don't want to give too much away, but it went well. And also, actually, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to talk about it. I got a standing ovation at the end, which was pretty cool. So first ever standing ovation at a show. I didn't really know how to react. I just kind of stood there and I was like, oh, fuck, like, this is cool. And I worked so hard on everything that it was just a cool moment that made it all worth it. And then I ran off stage and, like, then Meg was there, like, my girlfriend was there just waiting in the aisle. And, like, she it was just fucking cute. It was adorable. Anyway, we talked about it. She's like, oh, I want to be there when you finish the first comedy special. And I forgot about it. We talked about this, like, months ago, and she's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be there in the aisle. And this is when I didn't even know if she was coming to Brisbane or not. I was like, oh yeah, that would be awesome to have you there. And then she ended up coming, and ended up being there as soon as I came off. And it was we had, like, a cool moment for like 10 seconds. She was like, you fucking did it. And I was like, I did it, I did it, and we're both just excited. And then I quickly came back on and thanked the crowd and stuff. But yeah, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. So yeah, thank you very much for everyone who came. It was a dream come true. And up and onwards now, let's hope we can make that the norm. I would love, dude, I was just thinking that. I was up on stage and I was like, imagine if this is what my shows were like every night. That's crazy. So bloody hell, still 4 shows to go. going to Hobart in 2 weeks' time. Adelaide, Albury, then Canberra. Then we Il Finito, finally, with the tambourine tour. I've been doing this tour for fucking 6 months. sorry about all the promotion, but next year I'm going to try and condense my tour a bit more. It always just is hard with dates in Australia and whatever. What else do I want to talk about? Guys. Oh, okay. I tried Jatt's chocolate. I went on a podcast called The Green Cast with the guy who listens to this, actually, Mr. Green Tex. I won't reveal his name because he's anonymous, but he's also part of the Patreon as well, which is he's a good dude. Anyway, so he lives in the Gold Coast and he has a YouTube channel that's quite big. And it was like, oh, I'd love for you to come on the podcast. So I was like, yeah, we did a podcast in my hotel room and he bought Jatt's chocolate. Now, if you don't know, Arnott's have started a chocolate range. Sorry, yeah, where they've got all their biscuits and they've just shoved them into chocolate. Because they'll be like, this will make money, right? If we just jam shit that shouldn't be in chocolate in chocolate. There's some things that just don't go with chocolate. One of those things, for example, let's just list a few things quickly off the top of my head that don't go with chocolate. Chocolate doesn't go well with poison. Chocolate doesn't go well with semen. Chocolate doesn't go well with Jatt's. Chocolate doesn't go well. Oh, that's it. Boom. The three things that chocolate doesn't go well with. Okay. Poison, semen, and Jatt's. All on the same spectrum of, oh, don't want that in my mouth. And yet Arnott's just jammed it into, oh, it's disgusting. So look, even if you like Jatt's, and by the way, I don't even think Savoy chocolate would be that nice because it's just so salty. So I had this Jatt's chocolate. I tried it on his podcast. You know, if you don't know, we had an ongoing debate on our radio show about a year and a half ago between Savoys and Jatt's, the two bickies of Australia. Obviously, I'm a Savoy boy. Anyone else is a Jatt's rat. Yeah, just made even worse because it was Jatt's, but imagine having chocolate that tastes exactly like a Jatt's. It was the weirdest thing I've ever tasted. It was a salty aftertaste. I wanted like, and then I burped like a day later. I was like, you know, I did a little burp and I tasted it and I almost threw up in my mouth. I just went, that is not a taste that I want lingering. Anyway. So I did that. You can go check out that podcast I was on. It's called Mr. Green Text on YouTube. Just search Mr. Green Text, Luke Kidgel or whatever. And yeah, we had a good chat. So I tried Jatt's chocolate. That was a good thing. And also, guys, also when I was in Queensland, last thing from Queensland, went to Mount Tambourine. It was so cool. I didn't realize. So I didn't do a lot of research on it before I left. There's a whole town called Tambourine. That's what I didn't realize. I just thought it was a mountain. It was like, yeah, there's a lookout. It's called Mount Tambourine. It's like there's like a set of shops that just have, you know, tambourine this, tambourine that, tambourine mechanic, tambourine shops, tambourine this. And I don't know why, but I saw it was the funniest thing in the world that I should have just done a show at Mount Tambourine. I don't know why I didn't. Yeah, it was fun. It was good fun. Obviously, the original plan was to do a live podcast or some kind of podcast at the top of Mount Tambourine. Got there. I didn't really have a proper microphone set up. And there wasn't really a place. It was Mother's Day when I went, so everywhere was crowded. So I did, however, record a quick thing when I was up there for the podcast. And I received a challenge, as you'll hear in this clip, from one of the people on Patreon as to a thing to try at top of Mount Tambourine. And I guess here's how it went down. So here's me at the top of Mount Tambourine with my tambourine trying to mount a tambourine. We made it to Mount Tambourine on the tambourine tour. I got a few challenges when I was up here. The best one was, hey Luke, can you please, when you get up to the top of Mount Tambourine, mount a tambourine on Mount Tambourine. So, yes, I can do that. That was just my job. And we're back. There we go. For those listening, the audio isn't great, but I essentially just teabagged my tambourine. I was trying to work out how to properly mount a tambourine. It isn't a horse. It's a tambourine. So I put it on a ledge. And if you watch the video version, you will have obviously seen me teabag that boy. But if you're listening, the audio there was just me slowly and majestically just teabagging the shit out of my tambourine. But yeah, I successfully mounted a tambourine at the top of Mount Tambourine. I did it. I'm very proud of myself. I'd like to thank my family, my friends, everyone who made it possible, the tambourine, obviously my shot-sized nuts, and yeah, it wouldn't have been possible without any of you. So thank you very much, guys. It was a big achievement, and yeah, the Tambourine Mountain was awesome. I had a great time. So nice up there. Lovely. Oh, it was like the people at my shows. I was like, this is bloody cute, you know? But it was a nice area. Green everywhere. Oh. Great. All right. Let's do knocks. Let's knock me up. All right, I got a couple of knocks at the start of the podcast. Here we go. First knock. Hey, Luke, I was wondering what stuff you got up to in California when you went a few months ago. I was thinking about taking a trip over there and want to know if you recommend it and what stuff you did. I didn't really... Like, I went to LA. That was it. I was only there for like 4 or 5 days, I think. And I don't know if you've listened to the podcast. Maybe go back to the first podcast when I come back. I talked about going to LA. So go to the first podcast where it's called like The Podcast is Back or whatever. Go to that one. It was about 6 or 7 episodes ago. I talked about what I did in California. To be honest, I didn't do California. I didn't do San Diego or any other places there. I just did LA, kind of hated it, and then left. I just like went to the Hollywood sign, went to Venice Beach, went to Santa Monica Pier, was like, oh, this is like Grand Theft Auto, and then left. That was essentially what I did. I also went to the Comedy Store a bunch of times. That was awesome. That was probably the best thing I did. I saw some of my favorite comedians there every night, which was cool. I went to In-N-Out Burger. They've got delicious burgers. Best takeaway burger I've ever had, and probably the cheapest. Yeah, so I would just say go do that. Typical American shit. So just if you want to just like just go experience what it's like to be in California, you know, go there, try and get famous, fail, come back to Australia. That's not what I did, by the way. I wasn't going there for career reasons. I'm gonna go back next year and try and, you know, get some work over there, and there's some things in the works which is cool. So yeah, I might be going back to America next year, and I want to start traveling a bit more with comedy and doing shows in different places and stuff. The problem is America's hard to get a green card, and it's a whole thing. But yeah, that's pretty much what I did in California, man. I just bummed around, was like, oh, this place smells like weed. And I was like, this sucks. And I came back to Australia and chatted on it on a podcast for a bit. Have fun, though. I don't want to ruin it before you go. It's a cool place. It's just cool. You'll love it if you like pollution, traffic, and yeah, rude, obnoxious tourists. I'm not saying the locals are rude, some of them are, but yeah, mainly the tour. I was staying in the worst part, so I can't really judge it. I was staying on Hollywood Boulevard, which is like a bunch of people trying to sell mixtapes to you, you know, random like Mexican dudes dressed as Superman and the Hulk trying to like charge you $20 for it to get a photo with them. And it's like, dude, you're balding, you know, like you're not Superman. You're bloody... anyway. It's an interesting place, but I would say my tips would just be like, maybe leave LA would actually be my tip. Do like a few days in LA, maybe go to San Diego, try something new, like ask maybe someone who lives there. I think that's the best way to see any place. Like in the past, when I'd gone to the Gold Coast, David, even though this is a dumb example because it's in Australia, I'd never been there much before. So every time I just went, it's all I knew. I was just going to surfers paradise. And I was like, this place sucks. And then you go to a place with someone who actually lives there and knows it well, and they take you to all the nice places. You actually find out what living there is like. You're like, oh, this is heaps better than I thought it was going to be. So I know that's a bad example because it's just the Gold Coast. But man, if you know someone who lives there or stayed there for a while, I think that's why I had a better time in New York. I went with people and I knew a lot of people over there, so they took me to cooler places and I did much cooler stuff. And then I went to LA, I didn't know anyone. I was just there with my mate who's also from Australia, and we were just like, fuck this place. Yeah, so that's my answer to that one, man. Hope you have fun in California. Rest in peace. Hey, Luke, this is Matt. I was the guy that gave you the your mum gay mug at your show. Oh, yeah, that was hilarious. As probably one of your few non-white fans, I thought I'd send a different kind of pump-up song. It's called Bang 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 by Big Bang. And it's is to me what Fat Bottom Girls is to you. I know K-pop can be a bit of a miss with most people, but if you give it a chance, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Good luck at your upcoming shows. I hope they sell out. I'm going to give this... thanks, man. I really appreciate you as well for calling my mum gay. When she's actually straight. Shaz is a lovely lady. But thank you, man, for the knock. Big Bang 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 by Big Bang. The reason why people don't like K-pop, man, is because this song's called Bang Bang Bang. Now, look, these are my predictions going into this song. We're about to hit play. I'm predicting repetitive, not in my language, hard to get on board with. I'm predicting an English chorus with a Korean verse. Okay, this is pretty poppin'. I'm not gonna lie, I don't hate this. Oh, okay, this is pretty ultimate pump up. Oh, yep, all right, I was correct. We have a K-pop verse, but still bopping. Ooh, a bit of a rap. Let's skip to the chorus. Why is it called Bang Bang Bang? Where's the bit where it says Bang Bang? I feel like this is leading to a chorus. Ooh. Bang Bang Bang. This is like K-pop Skrillex. I love it. Krillex. Korean Skrillex. I don't like that sound in songs. That it sounds like the Inception horn. Like in every movie trailer in the Transformers. Oh, man. That song sounds like it has a tugboat in the background. They record it at a dock, and they're like, bang, 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 and then some tugboat was like, like, fuck, we're trying to record. Just leave it in. good suggestion, man. That is a bop, but you're right. K-pop, I think I'm too white for K-pop, guys. It was a bop, though. Just a lot of pump up songs coming in. Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin is a banger. It's short, sweet, and it fucking rocks. I can agree with that. I think I'm gonna have to do an ultimate pump up song bonus ep of the podcast where I just go through every single pump up song. Let me know if that's like something you'd want, where I just spend like 45 minutes. I've probably got 100 suggestions, which is why I haven't done any this week, because I don't even know where to begin. I've got hundreds of pump up songs come in. Maybe we needed a ranking. I need to get like a whiteboard and we rank the pump up songs. We get a top 10 pump up bop playlist, like a final. Maybe we'll do that. All right, we'll see. Let me know if you guys want to do that, and I'll try and get it done. Maybe I'll get my girlfriend Meg to come on, and we'll do it together, and we'll just get a definitive list of the ultimate pump up songs. Here we go. We've got a banger. Hey Luke, my ultimate pump up song is a Bonfire by Child. Yeah, it's just more pump up songs. Bonfire by Childish Gambino, also a banger. And it says also, if you want to get pumped up before going out, you should listen to D's Nuts. Literally, they're a band. Yeah, I know they're a band. I've heard of them. It's all just song suggestions. Yeah, we need it. Okay, there's too many song suggestions here. We need to do a pump up song only podcast, I think, where we just do a bonus ep and we once and for all decided to end this madness. Cool. Thank you very much for listening, guys. I think that's the end. Feel free to keep knocking me up if you're on the Patreon. Also, there's a Patreon-only podcast, if you didn't know, the Luke and Meg podcast fortnightly. There's already 5 episodes out, which you can go catch up on. It's on YouTube, and you can download the RSS feed if you're part of the Patreon as well. So, yeah, get on it if you want to support me there. You can knock me up as well. It's the best way to be involved with the podcast. I will read out the rest of the knocks on the Pump Up Song podcast. And, I might have to just do one more official Pump Up Song podcast to decide this bad boy. In summarizing this episode of verbal hieroglyphics of a light pigmented chap, I would just like to say that Queensland rocks. You've absolutely won me over this weekend. I had a great time there. Not just the shows, but I had a great time just doing other shit there. I did a gig that wasn't my show as well on the Gold Coast the night after, and that was super fun. I'm probably going to come do a run of shows there in a couple of months, like just a run of like emceeing and comedy nights and stuff, which should be cool. And just having a great time there. I want to go back. And Hobart, Adelaide, Aubrey, Canberra, tickets on sale, get on it. Canberra selling very quickly, so get on Canberra. Very different story to last year. Canberra and Aubrey look like they're going to pop off. Adelaide, I think there's like, I don't know, like 50 tickets left. I don't know, I haven't checked for a while, but not many. And then that's in like a few weeks still. And then Hobart, not many. Oh no, there's still tickets left to Hobart. Actually, you need to come Hobart, because I actually don't know how many I've sold there. Haven't looked. But please come, and I'd love to see you there. Thank you very much again, everyone who came out to the comedy special. And if you're obviously not in Brisbane, it'll be out in September. That's all I've got this week. A few things might be changing content-wise as well on my channel soon. Not drastically, just going to start maybe doing some different sort of content as well as my regular stuff. And that's all I got for you this week, guys. Have a good one. If you like this podcast, tell a friend. I'll see you guys next Wednesday. Get it? No one should end their podcast with "get it." That's the official catchphrase. All right, guys, go get it. All right, see ya. Bye.